Please join with me in the unison prayer found on the second page in your bulletin. God of life and death, birth and rebirth, in this season of Lent, we begin our journey to the cross and what is beyond. We pray that your Spirit will be with us here in worship and in the days to follow. Sharpen our focus, that our attention may center more on you than ourselves. Awaken our minds, that we might grasp the truth of your gift of love in Jesus. Stir our hearts, that we may discover new truth, new hope, and new life. Be with us, God, in all that we say and all that we do. Amen.
Friends, please be seated. Good morning. And welcome on this beautiful, is it winter, is it spring, but it is a gorgeous day. Welcome here to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ here in Stockbridge. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, which means this. It means you are welcome here just as you are. We believe that God meets us right here in this very room, which means that whatever you bring to this room, whatever you give over to God, well, it can never be the same again. We know that we are people on a journey, which means that we listen for our still-speaking God, that we know there is more light and truth to break forth from God's word, and that we are ever becoming new creations with each and every breath we take. Friends, whether you have come to this church since you were a wee child, or whether this is your very first day here, feel welcome, get ready, and hang on. Because the God we worship is nothing short of amazing. If this is your first time with us, or if you are new here, I invite you to grab one of the pew cards that should be in each and every pew and fill it out. Give us your name. Give me a way to get in touch with you, and I promise you that I will. If you have not been around this place over the last week, you have missed a whole lot. Here's a little bit of what you missed. On Monday, we had a whole group of women, the Women's Service League, who got together and made crafts all day long. On Tuesday, our Christian Ed group, they got together and talked about how we can form our children and adults more completely. On Wednesday, here in this room, was The Beasts. That's right, an opera. And it debuted in this very room. It was not only incredibly well attended, but beautifully written, wonderfully performed, and joyously received. And that was only Wednesday, because on Thursday, there was a Bible study on Luke, there were the bells ringing in the afternoon, there was open table in the evening, and a whole bunch of people got together in that room to talk about covenant and membership and belonging. On Friday, thank goodness it snowed, because it gave us a chance to take a breath and just relax. Because on Saturday, we sent a whole group of people to Ludlow for a UCC conference called Super Saturday. And then, yesterday afternoon, that piano got a great workout. There was a concert in this room. If you missed it, I am sorry, because there was a concert in this room where at times there were two people playing at that piano, at times there were three people playing that piano all at once. That piano, it was creaking and rocking and making beautiful noise. It was great. Friends, in case you haven't gotten my drift, there's a lot going on here, and I hope you have a chance to get involved. I now invite anyone who has an announcement to make on behalf of this church to come tell us what we can look forward to this coming week. As they come to the microphones, let me tell you two of those things. First, we put the insert on bright yellow paper so you would notice, but Easter's coming quickly. And so your orders for flower donations need to be turned in on that sheet of paper into the Jonathan Edwards room soon. I'm also excited to announce that next week we will have a guest preacher and someone to help me lead worship, but it's somebody you know very well. Janet McKinstry will be here helping to lead us in worship next week. One of the reasons she's doing that is because next week I will officially own the covenant of this church and join this church as a member so that I can help other people join the church the following week. So please, if you can be here, I think it's going to be a great Sunday.
Next Sunday is also St. Patrick's Day, but we're celebrating on Thursday at the Grange up the road. We're going to have a traditional Irish dinner. Anybody wants to make Irish desserts, you're all invited. It's free, it's open to everybody, and we want a big crowd. We're going to make a lot of food. And David Pallero's the cook, and those of you who have had his cooking know he's great. Thanks. It's at 5:30 at the Grange. And if you get there late, it might be gone.
I got another announcement. Today, at 3 o'clock, I'd like to invite you all to come to St. Paul's Church, right here in Stockbridge, to hear Lis Via Crucis, sung by the St. Paul's Choir. Our own John Demler will be Jesus Christ. It's a very, very moving work. Please come.
Not to compete with the Berkshire Concert Choir, but there is also part of the Berkshire Festival of Women Writers, and also supported by the South Berkshire Human Rights Series, which we support through Mission in Action. There will be a film at the McConnell Theater at Simon's Rock, and it's called Sweet Dreams, and it's about a group of women in Afghanistan who take on a project. Anyway, it's about empowering women, and that's another option for your beautiful afternoon when you'd probably rather be outside.
All right, if there are no other announcements, I would invite all the kids to come on forward at this time. If there are children, whether you are young or young of heart, come on up and sit with me on these steps. All right, come on up. How are you today?
Good.
All right, that sounded kind of real. All right, I have a question for you. How many of you have ever done anything that has made your parents sad or that maybe has been against the rules? Have any of the three of you ever done anything to break the rules or do something not perfect? All three of you? All right, it's the trifecta. So let me ask you a question. When you did that something, I'm not going to ask you what it is, because in truth, if I said, how many of you have ever done something to make someone sad or your parents unhappy, please raise your hand, we all would raise our hands. But here's the question I want to ask you. All right, you ready for the question? When you did something that made them sad, how was your relationship with them? How did it affect how you were with them? Did they get angry with you? What did they do? They got angry. And how did you feel? Sad. Why did you feel sad? You don't know? Bronwyn, why would you have felt sad? Yeah, because you didn't mean to hurt that person, right? So that's one reason to feel sad. Any other reasons you can think of for feeling sad? Here's something I want to talk to you about this morning. Each and every week during Lent, we have been doing a prayer of confession. It's what we're going to do next. And here's why we do it. Is because we recognize that when we do things that aren't perfect, God asks us to do two things. God asks us to love God and to love each other. And we recognize that we don't always do that great. And you know what? What we know is that can make us sad because we didn't mean to hurt God or we didn't mean to hurt each other. The reason we do this prayer of confession is not to make us feel bad. It's not to talk about bad things. Instead, what God tells us is if we say we're sorry, if we simply let those things go, then we can be happy again. When you say you're sorry to your parents, what do? They do. They say, I forgive you. And when we say we're sorry to God, that's what God says too, which is why we do a prayer of confession every week, so that God will kiss us just like your sister is kissing you. Full of love and grace and beauty. So here's the thing. Whenever you do something that isn't great, whenever you do something to hurt somebody, just say you're sorry. That's what we do in church every week. Okay? All right, you can head back to sit with your parents.
Please join with me in the prayer of confession found in your bulletin. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up, as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you.
Amen. Friends, hear these words of truth. Our brother, the Apostle Paul, said this. He said that he was convinced, utterly and completely convinced, that there is nothing in all of creation. There is no height or depth. There is no angel or ruler. There is no principality. There is nothing that you have done or could ever do that will separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus. That is the good news. We are a forgiven people. Friends, in light of that good news, I invite you to stand to your feet as you are able and to sing our response. Friends, truth is, life isn't perfect. Truth is, each of us carry burdens around with us, whether they be sins, whether they be hurts, whether they be illness, whether they be grief. It is part of life. But God asks us to hand that all over. One of the ways we actually do that, I don't know if you know this, is by passing the peace. In the midst of the difficulty or the joy of our life, we reach out and we remember that we are still connected to each other, that we are still bound to each other, that we still have hope for each other. So this morning, whether you are perfect or not, whether you are hurting or not, whether you are whole or not, I invite you to share Christ's peace and offer hope. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you.
The scripture reading this morning is from the Epistle 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21, in your pew Bible on page 1006. From now on, therefore we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. May God give us joy of the reading of this word this morning.
From now on, from this very moment, from right now, Paul said some 2,000 years ago. Therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Paul wrote that there was a new creation afoot, and that it changes you and it changes me. Now, I am an optimist. I think those of you who know me know that I am an optimist. I think that people generally do the best they can with what they got. I believe that people are inherently good. And yet, I also know this. I know that in the 1950s, the 1960s, and the 1970s, the most powerful men of some of the most powerful companies in the world looked at their brothers and sisters from a human point of view. They deliberately created a product that they knew would kill people. And then they secretly laced it with a powerful addictive drug, making sure that whoever started couldn't stop. Because when the CEOs of cigarette companies looked at people, they looked from a human point of view and they saw dollar signs. In the 1980s, the political leaders and, quite frankly, many of the religious leaders of this nation turned a blind eye to the developing scourge of AIDS, because when they looked at who was affected, or rather who was infected, they saw them from a human point of view. In that same time of the early 80s, when a tainted bottle of Tylenol was found in the Chicago area, those same leaders responded brilliantly and quickly, spending millions upon millions of dollars to protect the innocent from dying. They spent far more in a week on that cyanide Tylenol scare than they did on the issue of AIDS for the first 4 years of its existence. Because when they looked at those who were infected, they saw drug users. They saw Haitians. They saw gay sinners. In the 1990s, when the Hutus decided to massacre the Tutsis in Rwanda, leaders in the United States, in France, and in Belgium looked at the looming slaughter through human eyes. There is incontrovertible evidence that we are aware of the buildup, and we did nothing. There is no doubt that we were aware of ads running on local radio stations encouraging civilian Hutus to go ahead and kill their neighboring Tutsis as well. And yet the international community remained silent. When it was indisputable that what was going on was in fact genocide, the United States adamantly refused to call it such for fear that it would mean that someone would expect us to do something about it. When we looked at the Tutsis, somehow we did not see our brothers and sisters. We saw a drain on our own resources, time, and energy. We looked at them from a human point of view. I am an optimist. God knows I am an optimist, which is why I think that this passage is one of the most important ones you and I will read all year long. There is that question of sin. There is that question of how it is that we manage to look at each other and do anything but completely love each other. Rabbinic tradition sees sin as part of reality, an innate part, and maybe even a necessary part of what human nature is. In this passage is at the heart of what captured the Apostle Paul so completely in his faith. It is what can capture us this Lent as well. This new creation that Paul is writing about, it is something that is waiting right there for you and me. It is a new creation accomplished by God, something that is waiting for you and me to live into. What is it? It's been 2,000 years, and that new creation we are still yearning for. Well, if we had started just one verse before the passage that Glenn read, you would have heard these words. Jesus died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. The miracle of this new creation is that God doesn't just invite us to live for Jesus, not just some political campaign where we go out there and say, I am for Jesus. But if you read this passage, the miracle of this new creation is that God actually invites us to live in Jesus. In this passage, Paul is writing that we have the chance to see this creation of God through Jesus's eyes. To treat one another not as dollar signs, sinner, or as distraction, but to treat one another as Jesus treated those that he encountered, every one of them as brother or sister. We have the chance to love one another, not just as we love ourselves, but in this passage, we have the ability to love one another as God loves us. The word in the middle of this passage from Paul that Paul repeats over and over again is reconciliation. He is the only one in the entire New Testament to use that word reconciliation. Rejoining, reconnecting, rebonding. But there's another meaning to reconciliation that Paul uses as well. It is that of a new start, a new direction, an alteration. This new creation is an alteration of how we can live. And what Paul says here is this: Jesus gave his life to end the separation between God and humanity. He did it in love so that our reconciliation with God might be accomplished in trust and in love, and so that you and me might not just be loved by God, but that we might actually be agents of that love, part of a new direction, part of an alteration, part of a whole new start. Over the last few weeks, my heart has been filled with joy to hear many of you talk about how meaningful the Taze chant that we have been doing has been for you. How it's brought you peace and comfort. I got to tell you that Brother Roger, the one who founded the Taze community, he would be very happy to hear that. One of his major goals in founding the community was to support reconciliation. He wrote a book at the beginning of his ministry called The Rule of Taze. And in that book, he wrote this. He said, friends, never resign yourself to the scandal of separation of Christians. All who so readily confess love for their neighbor and yet remain divided. Instead, Brother Roger said, be consumed with burning zeal for unity. He said, see one another through the eyes of Christ. We sing those words each and every Sunday, that we might get past those words, that we might be pointed in a new direction, and that direction is nowhere except for to God's own love. Friends, I'm an optimist. And I think that God's new creation here described by Paul is beautiful and perhaps even perfect. God's love in Jesus is not a magic switch or an instant fix, because switches can be turned off and instant fixes, we all know, they don't last. Instead, we are offered the chance to grow into the promise. God's sacrificial love in Christ is an eternal invitation. It's one that always sits there, that all we have to do is reach out and grab it. We cannot undo what has been done. You and I, we may not have the same power as those CEOs or those politicians. But Paul reminds us in this passage that we have the strength of God behind us and even in us. It is a strength that is grounded nowhere but in the love of Jesus. I know that there will always be greed and power and ignorance and sin in this world. I know it. But I also know this. We have a new start. We have a new creation. I know that if I look through the eyes of Christ, I cannot see any person as a source of my own profit. I can't. Nor can I stay silent when others do. Instead, I know if I look at them through the eyes of Christ, I am contemplated. I'm called to contemplate how my own gifts might profit them. If you remember, Jesus said he came not to be served, but to serve. He washed his disciples' feet. He gave us that gift of peace we just passed. If I look through the eyes of Christ, I know that I'm not going to see those who are struggling or sick as blameworthy. Instead, if I look through the eyes of Christ, I remember from the Bible words like being moved with compassion. I will heal. I will hold their hand. I will sit by their side. I will never leave them alone. When the Pharisees asked Jesus why he ate and drank with tax collectors and sinners, he said what you all know. Those who are well have no need of a physician. But those who are sick, they need all the love I can give. If we look through the eyes of Christ, I know that I will never see a sister or brother as an unwanted distraction. Instead, I know that I will remember the story of the Good Samaritan. I will delay my own trip or my own meeting or my own phone call or whatever's on my plate for the day. I will take my oil and my wine, as the Samaritan did, and I will use it to heal wounds. I will take my denarii and use it to give people a place to sleep, a blanket to snuggle on, and someone to watch over them. For Jesus reminds us that being a neighbor is not defined by proximity, but by mercy. Friends, from now on, from this moment, from right now, we will see everything from a new point of view. The good news is that if we simply live in God, we see everything through the eyes of Christ. And through that, we have no chance, no choice, no option, but to see this whole world through the amazing, beautiful lens of love. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, please be seated. We come together now in a time of prayer. Jesus taught us to pray, taught us to remember God, to remember neighbor, to pray as often as we can. As we come together in prayer today, we lift up our joys and concerns. We name our brothers and sisters who are on our hearts or on our minds, so that we might not only pray for them in this moment, but that we might take them with us on the week to come. Friends, for whom or what do we pray this morning? And we'll keep David in our prayers. We pray for safe travels for you and that that visit might be a joyful one.
Pray for healing for my nephew Blake.
We pray for healing for Blake. Pray for Will and Linda on the death of their daughter. Her name? Okay. We keep them and the whole family in our prayers. I received a note from David Anderegg. I don't know much more than this. He said he could not be here today because he was in Boston for the funeral of his mother-in-law. That is all the detail I had. He said he was sorry not to be here with us today and asked for us to keep his family in our prayers as well. Are there other joys and concerns this morning? I have a joy. I lift up the music of this place. I give thanks for the bells and the choir, for the beasts and the piano. It fills my heart with joy. Any other joys or concerns? Then let us turn as the faithful have turned before us. Let us pray. Okay, what is that? We definitely pray that you do not run out of gas in the middle of the desert or anywhere else. Joy for the sunshine, indeed. And now, friends, let us turn to Psalm 63. Let us join our voices to the voices of the faithful throughout the age as we pray in unison. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I pray for joy. My soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me. Loving God, we now break the silence to pray out loud, boldly and confidently, the words that your Son taught us to pray saying, "Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Sisters and brothers, let us now with joy, with thanksgiving, and with gladness present the offerings of our life and of our labor and give them back to God, from whom all of our blessings flow. Loving God, all that we have comes from you. Receive this offering and with it the offering of our lives. For we return to you only that which you have so graciously given us. Use us, God, for the sake of Christ, in whose name we pray. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, our worship of God here in this place, here in this sanctuary, is coming to a close. So that our worship of God might begin anew, in a whole new way, out there in the world beyond. But before you go, a couple of quick invitations. First, I invite every person in this room to go through those doors for a time of fellowship and a time of food. I know if you look out those windows, you see bright sunshine. But I promise you, it will be brighter in there. I know if you look out those windows, you see warmth. I promise you, you will feel a greater warmth of love in there. So please, stick around for a few minutes that we might say hi, that we might get to know you a little better, and that we might express our appreciation towards one another. Now, friends, let us close our worship with song. Friends, I know of no better blessing to send you out on this day than the last verse of Love Divine, All Love Excellings. And so I pray that God might finish then God's new creation, that pure and spotless may we be. Let us see God's great salvation perfectly restored in thee. I pray that God changes us from glory into glory till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, and may we be lost in wonder, love, and praise. And let us say, Amen.